to the award-winning team-building exercise Season 3. Yeah, the guys are running out of ideas for lists, so this season is gonna be pretty random. I hope they just don't give up and stop doing them. I think it's a great resource, but what do I know? Oh, man. Now they're gonna be talking about the disgusting, the nasty, the worst things in the galaxy.
The Veermen.
Come on, Boomer! Stop stealing my spotlight! Get out of here! You gotta stop doing this! Get out!
Welcome to the award-winning Team Building Exercise. This is episode 3, or season 3, episode 6, The New Veermen from Outbreak. I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
Coach!
And we're here doing the Outbreak Veermen. Look at this guy laughing at me the way I say Outbreak. Outbreak.
You don't even think it's.
I play it up, and then I play it up even more, and then it's just terrible. So yes, as always, Jack goes first. Jack, let us know. Veermen, we tried this once before. It was failed. This is the redo. So is your list the same as last time, or is it brand spanking new?
It is the same list. Love me this list.
Thank you.
So we can just jump right in without being interrupted or without any kind of tomfoolery, shenanigans, hijinks.
What are you getting? What are you talking about?
Jack, remember he has these delusions that thing that he thinks there's goblins. It's really weird. Remember, we're not supposed to talk about it because
yeah, he's the only one who sees them.
Yeah,
or hears so, them.
Ixnay on the oblin gay. Ooh.
Okay. we'll get right to it. So my choice for the leader, 28 points, 2 VPs.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
Hey, George, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty crappy.
Oh, no. Oh, come on. What's wrong?
Well, I'm very disappointed that Rob had to delete the last team building exercise. He says that, you know, he misplaced it or whatnot, but I think that is a lie.
Oh, so you're saying it was a sabotage, perhaps?
Oh, no. Here comes Boomer. Boomer, look out. There's a garbage pail right there.
Oh, thank you. I would have tripped over.
Almost as good as him actually tripping over it.
Stop the show. Stop the show.
Oh. Only 4 people will understand why that's so funny.
5. Georgie. And Boomer.
We don't count them.
I don't count Boomer.
Oh my god.
Well, anyway, I don't get what's so funny. But yeah, Rob, it was all your fault.
No, actually, I think it was Jack's fault.
Hey, Boomer, you know what? You're really pissing me off today. I'm not in a good mood, okay? I really am not, okay? The last team building exercise was great, and Rob had to screw everything up. And I'm just mad, okay?
All right. I didn't know. I didn't think you'd feel that way.
Boomer, look out! Okay. Well.
You all right?
No.
Oh.
Why?
It looks like Boomer tripped over the garbage pail.
Again?
No. This is the first time.
Okay.
That other one never happened.
What other one?
It's true. It's not recorded. It doesn't exist.
I think we're in the fake news realm.
It's true.
And you're not mad at anybody? No tomatoes or, you know, threatening death or something like that? Or something.
No.
Yeah, see? It's gone.
Okay.
Gone.
Not this week.
That's good. Glad to hear it, Boomer. Glad everything's good.
Yeah, well, it's not Boomer. It's Georgie. Boomer left. Okay, Rob?
He tripped over the garbage can.
He tripped over the garbage can. Okay, he's gone. I don't know where he went. All I smell is poop and, like, Snickers bars.
Poop and Snicker bars.
But it's only boomers, the only one I care about. That's why I said it.
Okay. Now you're gonna. Okay. Now you have even more reasons for me to hate you.
When you're at the bottom, how much farther can you fall?
You got to look up to see the bottom.
Well, actually, never mind. I can't go on with this. Goodbye, Jack. Have a wonderful live show.
Thank you, Georgie.
You're welcome.
Can you at least, just for me, I know you're down now. Rob's really hurt you deep in your soul. But on your way out, can I get like a real Excelsior? Like, can you just really, just for punch it up?
You should, make sure it's good. Clear your throat. And
from the diaphragm.
Yeah. Excelsior!
Yay.
Perfect. Thank you.
You know what? It's bad because he sashayed over the freaking garbage can this time.
Is there trash everywhere?
It really was. Between the dog and him, I don't know what the hell's going on.
So, Jack, please, your list.
My list. As I was saying, I started with the progenitor.
Yes.
And I gave him the grenade launcher.
Yes.
The smoke grenade launcher. Because I expect that the progenitor, who is, I think, my favorite of the leaders for the Veermen all around, I think smoke's very important. And range 5, he can still be effective. He's got the Recon 4 Plus.
Eh.
I can go for that.
Respectable.
Could be worse.
Yes, it could be worse. So that's who I went for my leader. And for troops, I went with 6 Stalkers.
Woo!
6 Stalkers.
Ric Flair came into the show there for a second.
Yes, he did. He's doing very well for himself. Thank you.
All using Liberace's cast-offs, sashaying through. I wasn't a Ric Flair fan.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
He speaks ill of the dead.
Is he dead?
No, I don't think so.
He is to Jack.
I went with 6 Stalkers because I prefer the Stalkers over the Creepers.
Crawlers.
And the Creepers, because I gave a couple of my Stalkers the grenade launcher, the smoke grenade launcher.
Wait, you gave the Stalkers a smoke grenade launcher?
No.
No.
You said gave the smoke grenades, not the launcher.
Oh, okay. Okay, grenades, okay. Yes.
2 smoke grenades, 6 Stalkers, 2 smoke grenades. I like them more than the crawlers for sure. I understand some people, you buy a bunch of them, you throw a bunch of dice, hopefully it'll throw spaghetti against the wall, hopefully it's something sticks. That's not for me. I like the Stalkers, 6 of them. As a troop tax, but also they're pretty decent when they get in close. I'm not in my games. I'm not going to be relying on a range 4 shooting on. No, I'm not going to do it. You two might have chose differently, but I can't. So with 6 troops, 6 VPs with the smoke grenades, I can live with that. Then my specialists. I have 2 Malignus. And I gave both of them the smoke grenade launcher.
You only have 2 Malignus? Oh,
3. I gave
3. Thank you. So
3 Malignus with the smoke grenade launcher. Now, I think that might be overkill with the smoke at this point, but I watched Coach's battle report. Not your latest one, I don't think. No, because...
It probably was at the time of the original recording.
Yeah, it's actually, I've come out with some elite list breakdown since then. But yeah, it was the last battle report. It was the Veerman battle report.
Okay. Either way, at one point, the camera pans across and it's just a field of smoke.
Hmm.
So 3 Malignus with the smoke grenade launcher. I like them. I even as troops. Like as not like they're specialists, but even as like as a functioning member of the strike team, I like them even without the smoke grenade launcher. But I they're playing a role in this army to lead into the last two of my specialists, two rat swarms. Now, hopefully, in this fog of war, this smoke across the battlefield, these little low-profile little guys, these little gribbly guys will be able to get in, make contact. I like them for 14 points, two VPs. Their lady lumps bring the boys to the yard, as the kids are saying. Finally, the big part of my army that I'm hoping that the smoke and the chaos will allow to get into striking range. I have a vehicle, a Tau Runner stock. I didn't put any of the doodads. I know you can make some changes, but with twin
transporters and
slaves, it's got it all. It's 30 points, three VPs. I think they're perfect for where they are. I don't think you have to change a thing. They're right on for price and for, I don't know how powerful they are or how lethal they are. I like them. They're a little tall. They're bullet magnets, and they're hard to keep in one piece to get to the other side. But if they do, with enough smoke, a lot of chaos, they can do some damage. So
yeah, but you got to remember something. All right, so let's break down the tunnel real quick. You're talking about a 5-up save with one armor. All right, so 5-up save is really respectable. One armor is good. He's still a vehicle, can't go up the ramps or whatnot as a strider. He is 30 points, three VPs, so it's less than a strider. But you're talking two twin chem spitters, range 6, AP2 with weight of fire 1. First of all, that's sick. Then you got sides, range F, AP1. Now it moves on to 1-4. You throw a move dice on him, or you move 4 and go a shoot dice, and you're in business. All right? So that's it. Now they're tall enough where they can see over the top of a 3-inch. They're a little bit higher than 3 inches. But remember that the rules of dead zone apply that bases matter, but also tops of models matter. So you might be able to get full model on a guy standing when they just stand on the top of a cube where usually you're shooting down. You know what I mean?
I find it hard to justify shooting from a cube your base isn't in, but I guess that is a thing.
Wait. It's hard to shoot from a cube that you're not in or that you're in. What do you mean?
You're saying it's cheating, and it is pretty slimy, but
it's not cheating when it's part of the rules.
Yeah, I know. I'm just one of those guys that if you put your barrel, like if your barrel goes out and it's you're shooting at a 90 degree through a corner, and it's like, well, my barrel's out there. I that's a whole other story.
How do you know that? How do you know that? If you know, because if you look at the Tunnel Runner, the guns are on track, so they can maybe they spin and they go to a higher level, and that's why they can shoot.
Maybe, but they also have Frenzy 1, and right. Vehicles get a bad rap because of when you have a lot of scattered terrain, they're hard to get to point A to point B. Line of sight is really hard. The speed of the Tunnel Runner, I think, makes it far more viable than a lot of the other vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
In the game,
absolutely. The mobility of it alone.
Yes. So in total, 200 points on the nose. Only 18 VPs for the entire list. That is not.
I'd like to interject for a second.
Yes.
You forgot to explain your progenitor's ability, his surge ability.
Oh yes, that is what we do. Okay, then I will take a look at the old surge ability.
I got it right here, Jack, if you want me to read it to you.
I've got it right here, too, but if you want to, go right ahead.
I would love to. Well, Surge is a model, a Veerman model that was already marked as activated at the start of this turn, may make a move action up to one cube. This may trigger fights as normal.
Yes, so you pretty much get a little added move.
Mm. That works out great, man.
It's so universal, and it's so, like, it's not one of those stars-aligned splats.
You can always use a move, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be the most powerful move in the game or a splat in the game, but it is one that you can almost always, if you've got that dice sitting there, you can always make something happen with it.
Yeah, but there is no limit to them. So if you have four surges, you can surge the hell out of the guy.
Right. Whereas some other splats, you're like, okay, well, I have this has to be in effect. That right. guy has to be this. It's pretty. You'd be hard pressed to not be able to make something out of that dice.
Right, and it's also sometimes when you put a guy in a certain place, it's like one of those things. I'm going to lock you up in combat, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, and you're like, now you're out in the open. You could always use that to kind of use it as like a defensive mechanism where you can go behind something, or maybe with your 14 smoke launchers, you can jump into smoke and do it that way.
Jump into smoke, like you said. If you have to move, use your chute. Oh, look, your guy's out in the open. He's a sitting duck. I got clear sight on him. Yep.
Not today.
In your face. So, yeah, that is my list. And the only problem I have with it, Progenitor as Tactician 1, and I like my command dice. But other than that, that's the compromise you make for 28 points for a leader that's got, that's pretty decent. So yeah, that's my list.
Cool. We'll take a break. We'll be back to talk about my list and then coaches. And then we'll do the Hour of Hate.
Enough of the list already. Now on to the commercials.
Quiet down, boys. I'm trying to listen to Dead Zone, the podcast. Oh, hi. I didn't see you there. My name is Hiroku, and I'm your friendly neighborhood Blake Lord. Why, yes, I do enjoy listening to Dead Zone, the podcast, at deadzonegame.podbean.com, even if it is hosted by two pathetic humans destined to be part of our glorious plague. With that gunfire, damned enforcers are always interrupting my podcast time. Don't forget to go to deadzonegame.podbean.com for all your Dead Zone listening pleasure. Now, to destroy these damnable enforcers.
All right, welcome back to the award-winning team building exercise. I am Coach Joe. My two best buds from up north in the Karukuku land is Rob and Jack. So, we have listened to Jack's list, and now Rob will bring us into a full circle of total nonsense because he goes an other direction. So one is the left, one is the right, okay? But out of the three of us, we don't know who's who. So what do you got, Rob?
Yes. I don't know what any of that meant. It was like a wrestling analogy. It's like, what's his name? Dusty Rhodes.
Always remember, don't worry about it.
Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, so I picked for my leader, I went something different because this is new. I took the Master Creeper. Master Creeper is fives across the board, TAC 1, Scout, Recon 3 plus, which is really nice.
What?
He's got both deck packs, no armor, size 1, 2, 3, like good rats are. 20 points, 2 VPs, and he's got Bomb Expert. Coach, what does Bomb Expert do?
Thank you, Rob. Bomb Expert is spend an army special result to allow the active model to take a special action to perform a range 2 blast attack.
So I use this as my theme for this army. This army, you'll notice that it's going to be a little bomby. It's going to have a little, it's going to be explodey all over the place. I didn't go for smoke because I don't play games with smoke. I don't know.
It's going to be bomby. So it's going to be like sultry?
Yes, it's going to be like a cool breeze on a hot night. Mm. I also took 6 stalkers because stalkers are cheap and they fight on 4s, so at least they're useful, unlike we'll get to the crawlers, but yes, I'm not a fan of crawlers, so I took the 6 stalkers. And I took something that Jack said he hates, but I took, for my specialists, I took 5 creepers.
Wow.
And my 5 creepers I took with, they all have scout, which is great. They've moved to 3. They do, shoot on 6s, which sucks, but I gave them all, or they already are at Cumrath, debt packs and, of both types. So you get the AP2 range F debt pack and the range 2 debt pack. So, they're gonna be blowing stuff up with their little bombs. I like those. an AP2 on these little guys for 14 points ain't bad. So you're not going to have too much trouble even with dwarves, as long as you can get to them.
I always wondered, I'm sorry, Rob. I always wondered, like, the dead pack is range FFP2, but it doesn't blow themselves up.
No, it doesn't do frag or anything. It's just I guess it's a really, really focused blast.
Hmm.
And to round up my team, since I had 60 points left over, and I had 6 troops, I took not one, but 2 tunnel runners.
Wow.
As Coach says, if you like something, take 2.
Take 2. Or 3.
Well, I couldn't fit 3. I think we might talk about trying to fit 3.
We'll get to that. Foreshadowing.
But yes, so that's my list. 200 points. I do like this scout on all the creepers and the master creepers. They're going to be moving up really good. Recon 3 plus, I'll be getting extra scouts with that too. So I think this is a pretty sneaky list. You definitely have to keep me in cover because I don't have any smoke. So they're going to be magnets of getting shot at, but hopefully I have enough of them. I don't know how many people I have here. I have 10 guys, something. No, I have more than that. I have 6, 7, 12, 14 guys. So that's pretty good, including 2 tunnel runners, which are size 4. So they have 5 wounds. They'll probably be the bullet magnets, and hopefully they'll survive. But at least my other guys will be sneaking up. They'll never expect the creeper attack. So that's what I took.
No one expects the creeper.
That's right. So, Coach.
Yes.
Tell us, what did you take and how did you take it?
Okay. So, last time, I only have one change of the list. All right. And last time we spoke, I have to credit Jack, because when we discussed it afterwards, it made a hell of a lot of sense. And I'm saying to myself, why not make a positive change for the list? So originally I did take the progenitor, just like Jack. And I did originally take the spitter rifle as a sniper rifle. But then, you know, the progenitor, although he's very good, I feel that with a 4-up survive, he's doing all right. But he is kind of a glass cannon. He can get killed really easy. You know what I mean? Only a four up save is good, but you know, rats tend to die really quick. So instead of giving the spitter rifle, I gave him the chemical grenade launcher. Now Jack gave his the smoke grenade launcher. I went with the chemical grenade launcher. Now I've gone on the toxic one. Yes, the chemical grenade. It's, you know, so
Ben Edwards grenade launcher. I'm just trying to make sure everybody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I'm going with Ben Edwards because Ben Edwards is smart and it says chemical grenade launcher. So there you go. But anyway, the toxic smoke grenade launcher. When I thought about it, I was like, okay, well, let's give it to him. And it's only going to help that the grenade launcher itself is, an extra 12 points. Regular smoke launcher is, scroll is what? Jesus, where is it? Damn you, Battle Scribe. The smoke grenade launcher is no one.
I'm trying to look right now.
Smoke grenade launcher, what about it?
It's 8 points. 8 points. All right. So I figure for the extra 4.
So this is what happens. I don't pay attention. Yeah. And you have a question I can answer.
Extra four.
Yes.
All right. So I figured let's go for it. All right. And let's do that. Rounding out the troops. I'm going to go to the other one. This stupid one here. I'm going with 9 stalkers.
Only 9?
Only 9. Yes. Only 9. One of the stalkers I'm giving a smoke grenade to. So you're starting to see a pattern. Yeah, I like smoke grenades. And you know what? We'll get to why smoke grenades are so good. But then what I did was I took 2 malignuses, both with smoke grenade launchers. All right. So that gives me 20 points, but they're still 1 VP. So they're expensive, but they're not VP expensive. So I like them a lot. Then I went with 2 nightmares with paradrills. Each one has a smoke grenade. So to sum up, I have the progenitor with a chemical smoke grenade launcher, the toxic one. I have 2 malignus with smoke grenade launchers, regular smoke grenade launchers. I have 2 nightmares with smoke grenades and 1 stalker with a smoke grenade. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 potential smokes on the table at any given time without like reshooting or you know with the command dice,
extra shots,
extra shots or anything like that. I like the smoke grenades just because they can I can drop smoke where I want. So let's say I don't have it, indirect doesn't work, it bounces or whatever, right? You can drop even with a 7 shoot, you can drop something. It's a good chance you're getting it somewhere where you need it. You know what I mean? Or I could just drop it in the cube or stuff like that. I really do like this. When I first started playing Dead Zone, I was like, smoke is just no. There's just no way. There's just no way that I'm going to use smoke. And now I've become, I'm all about that smoke. All about it.
And for the benefit of those involved, you and I both went pretty smoke heavy.
Yes.
And toxic smoke and smoke work basically the same. And and the two main parts of having smoke on the board, if you want to enlighten those who in listening at home, you can't shoot anything in that cube.
Correct.
And if you're adjacent to that cube, you have a penalty to shoot.
Correct. You minus one.
So it really disturbs line of sight in a game that is based on line of sight.
Mm-hmm.
But it also acts as cover for models who would or normally not have cover. Other than like indirect, you've basically changed the board in your favor like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, and if you're directly in back of the cube, you can't shoot it either unless you're really high up. So I would suggest you you get that, some cotton or whatever, whatever you're going to use, the stuff of stuff and pillows or whatnot. I really like using that stuff. Now, here's the thing. If you have your now this is one of those things, Jack, the barrel in the thing, you're not getting full model. Oh, I could shoot you for the barrel sticking out of a little piece of ruined terrain. If you have a solid wall here, okay, let's say you have a solid wall on everybody. I know that this is a podcast and you can't see it, but if the solid wall is here on, say, on your left side, it's solid wall, and you are inside that solid wall, you do not get the benefit of it because the smoke does not go through a solid wall. It will go on top of it, or if there's a window, it will go into it, but a solid wall doesn't transfer to. So you got to pick and choose where you're going to do it. So, like say you have a guy in a building in a solid wall, and then you say, I'm going to put smoke over here, and you can't see me, you're going to get a minus one, but the smoke is blocked by the wall. So, now that's a little dicey, but I like that. You know what I mean?
But certainly if you, you can see why smoke is kind of in the Veerman's best interest. They're not shooty. Fighting on fours is the best attribute of their troops. It's the only reason that you have, like stalkers. None of the Veerman troops are really survivable but fighting on fours gives them a chance.
Yeah.
And then for those of us who really, really don't have that much faith that they're going to be survivable, smoke. So that's
smoke.
Smoke.
Mm.
Keyword smoke.
Yeah.
Hashtag smoke.
Well, there you go. That's our lists. We're going to take another break. We'll come back and we'll discuss what we didn't take and also
the hate.
The hate. I don't know if we have any hate, but maybe. You never know.
There's always hate.
There's always hate.
Hey, all right, enough already. Now on to the commercials. Hey, oh, man, that was a good roll.
Hey, Georgie, what are you watching?
Oh, I'm just watching a video on Family of Gamers 777 on YouTube.
What kind of videos are on their channel?
They have hobby videos, live streams, Dead Zone and Warpath battle reports, and tons of other great stuff.
Oh, cool. I have to check them out.
Remember, that's Family of Gamers 777 on YouTube, the hub for all things miniature wargaming.
So, Georgie, what's your favorite video on their channel?
I love them all so much. To pick just one, what do I know?
Oi, this is Boomer from the Elite Georgie List, and you're listening to Team Building Exercise. Love you, Rob.
So welcome back to the award-winning team building exercise. We just finished what it was that we did for our lists. We talked about why we took what we did. Now we have to address the elephant in the room, the pink elephant that haunts our every waking moment. Rob, what didn't we take?
We did not take the Broodmother. I think that was a victim of new hotness. We didn't take Broody. Broodmother's pretty awesome. She's expensive. 4 VPs and 38 points. That's pretty
worth
expensive.
Every penny MVP.
Yeah. Please, yeah. Coach, what does her splat do again?
All right. Well, let's I know everyone here has taken copious notes at the breakdown that I did on Family of Gamers, but I will, for my friends in up north, I will reiterate that. But when I went over it, I highlighted a bunch of things. So one of the things is that the Broodmother has tough now. Not that she really needed it, but what the hell? We gave her tough. She has Feral Inspiration, which I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to go through it. It is where you drop a command dice, and everyone within 2 cubes of the Broodmother will get Frenzy 1 till the end of the round, and it is cumulative. So if you have already have Frenzy 1, now you have Frenzy 2. The only change was is that through playtesting, we found that having a splat when the leader's gone is a dead splat is not good. So we said that this was too good of a strat to have not to use it. So to remedy that situation, what we did was when the Broodmother is dead, you could leave her in the cube or you could put a token there, and you could still use the splat, but you have to be within that 2-cube radius. So it's essentially, it's a 5-cube radius all around from where she died. And it's, we were thinking like, you know, that they look at it, they would look at the Broodmother and go into a frenzy knowing that she's dead, or maybe she releases a hormone. And while they're there, you know, they drop the frenzy, you know, from the hormone or whatever, you know, gives off, or pheromone or something like that. And since that little change, you know, 3 lines, 4 lines, it makes a huge difference. So that is her splat. She's a 4+. Let's go around the table. We didn't take her because you didn't take her because you didn't like her, or you didn't take her just because? Rob?
I didn't take her because I wanted to try out the Master Creeper. I think that's why. She's really good. Like I say, expensive, but giving everybody Frenzy 1, especially if you're going to go for, well, Veermen especially are melee heavy. So you're going to be using that Frenzy.
Right.
And you load up on a bunch of stalkers with her. So they're fighting on fours with a Frenzy 1. You're going to be hitting quite a bit. That'd be nice.
Yeah. And also, you think about it with the smoke, you can move her up there too. If you did the smoke like Jack and I. Jack, Broodmother.
The 10 extra points, worth, 18. But I didn't have it.
She's 18 more because everybody else is 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, My list was built so that the Tunnel Runner and maybe the Rat Swarms could smash my opponent's command and supply line. That's what that was for. She wouldn't have fit with my list, but in a hypothetical world, in another dimension, somewhere in Earth 165, where we're recording this right now, Rob's wearing a Flash shirt, but that's the only other change.
No, he would be wearing a Gotham shirt.
A Gotham shirt.
Yeah, in that universe.
Oh, okay. I would.
He laughs at his own jokes.
No, I'm just because Rob is looking at me like very serious, but he knows what I'm saying because Rob really is a big fan of Gotham, and he would have this, you know, the Gotham shirt. Like I love the guy who plays the Joker or whatever, you know, because.
But I would then hoard out the stalkers, just like Rob had mentioned. It's a whole other world. Just didn't fit into my list. I think we can agree, and there's a lot of lists like this now since Outbreak, that you choose what you want, not because the others aren't good, but because personal choice. Whereas before, there was a time when, oh, that's who you take. The other one's terrible.
Right. So,
yeah, I think we can all agree the Broodmother's pretty decent.
Yeah, Coach, should we talk about the bonus list now we thought of last time?
I didn't give you my thoughts on the Broodmother.
Oh, sorry. I thought we already discussed all the thoughts on the Broodmother.
No.
Coach, what do you think about the Broodmother?
What I would have done is I would have taken out my progenitor, who's 32 points, and then take out one of the troops, you know, take out the Stalker and put the Broodmother in because she would have fit. And maybe give someone else a smoke grenade, another smoke grenade, just to have it. So I'd have one less grenade launcher to have her in there. But, you know, that was the only thing. But I wanted to take the chemical grenade launcher. So I'm like, but yeah, definitely would have took her. There's nothing wrong with her. It's just what do you feel like doing today? You know what I mean? What do you want to do? You want to take the progenitor? You want to take this? What do you feel like? How do you feel like playing today? What's your overall strategy? So, I think she could have fit in my list though. Just that, you know, one less, I'm going two instead of three smoke grenade launchers. I think that's okay. I could live with that, but she is great, man. I love the Broodmother and great model. So.
Yep.
Yep.
So it's bonus lists we were talking about.
Yes, sir. So we have no more hate.
Oh, we'll go through it. I just wanted, since we're talking about the Broodmother, this list is based on her.
So here's the thing. We got to preempt this because, I was talking with E-Rock and E-Rock said, hey, I got a list for you. And he gives me this particular list. And I said, yeah, that's the list I gave Jack like months ago. I was actually, that was his, Adepticon list. And he was, I think, how close, Jack, to running that list?
I play tested that against Rob a bunch of times, and the problem was after the first time, Rob goes, hey, yeah, that's pretty ingenious. That's pretty smart. I like the way you did that. And then the next three games, knowing what my game was, knowing what the trick of the list was, he just spanked me because as strong as the trick is, it leaves you weak in another direction. And then I was like, okay, I can't do that. And plus, I wanted to showcase some of my models, so yeah.
We haven't talked about the list yet.
No, well, then Jack ended up taking Plague.
E-Rock did bring the Broodmother,
mm-hmm.
and he played, and that frenzy is it's legit.
It's legit, man.
It is legit. You don't know. This predates obviously the Outbreak book, but. But even that iteration, it did not mess around when you clump together. Mm. You know, it was dirty.
Yeah.
So the list is
you take the Broodmother, you take nine Stalkers, and you take three of the Hamster Bulls.
Yeah, three Tunnel Runners, nine Stalkers, and a Broodmother.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good list. Like Jack said, though. It is vulnerable to certain things. There's no smoke in this list.
Right.
So you just start taking those Tunnel Runners out. So who cares about Stalkers, right? But
well, you know what? I think a way to do it would be like you could take the Broodmother, cut back like Jack did. Actually, what you did, Rob, you took two, right? Two Tunnel Runners?
Yes, I only took two, yeah.
Yeah, and then maybe, you know, you went heavy Creeper, but maybe then you can go smoke with the Specialists.
Yeah. Malignuses with smoke, yeah, like a combination of all of our lists, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that would be, and you know, like you're saying, your list, you're exposing the Tunnel Runners to like different things without smoke. But the fact that you're going to, you know, they're really an alpha strike. You know, mm-hmm. they really are. But you know what's nice is that if you have the Broodmother, you're going TAC 5, so you can maybe. You know, get some smoke in there and then move them up and then use some shoot or move dice, to do that, you know, back and forth. So, you know, I think these four lists with kind of like the hybrid of the three of our lists using the Tunnel Runners is also pretty good. I mean, I'm saying this. I haven't lost a game with that list that I've taken with all that smoke because it's hard to deal with. You know, and I'm not bragging or anything, but I just feel very comfortable with that list. I like the way it plays, and like I have a plan before, depending on what the objective of the missions are. So you know, but then again, I could play Jack, and Jack is playing his list, and he's very comfortable with his list, and therefore, you know, it depends on what you do. So, But these are, you know, I not to pat ourselves on the back. These are three real well-rounded lists. I don't think it has a each list has a answer for different things. You know, the AP or the, you know, the, things like that. You know, I don't even worry about AP sometimes because, you know, I went against Forge Fathers and they had a lot of AP, or the Enforcers had some, you know, a lot of AP, and the Horde wins out. You know what I mean? Yeah. So depending on what you're gonna play, what you're gonna run, or how you're gonna run it, it makes sense. So you know, I have four snipers. Awesome. I got five Stalkers coming up at you. All right. Well, I have an AP one gun. Yeah, that's awesome. We have no armor.
Which goes back to that battle report that I had referenced of yours before. Hot Dice Fabe was running the table. His snipers, his medic was picking off rats at his leisure.
Right.
But more just come. As soon as you tie up that sniper, you don't even need to kill him. You just need to get a size
stop one. Stop him from shooting, yeah.
Up on that catwalk. Get the size one, you know, and attrition takes over.
And then you decide if you're going to fight or shoot. You know, obviously the Stalkers are going to fight with a 4+, but now, especially like say an Enforcer with a 6+ fight or 4+ survive, you know, you're like, all right, you know what? I'm going to take a shot. He's wounded. I'm going to try to fight him back. And it may or may not work. That's, you know, you put your opponent in an uncomfortable position. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to fight or you're going to survive with that armor? You know, so, you know, that in and of itself is the game, you know. What decision do I make?
That's right.
Yeah. So what else do we take? We didn't take the crawlers, and I think we all agree crawlers suck ass. Okay. If 10 points, they fight on fives, but they shoot on sixes, save on fives.
Shoot on six. I don't care if you got weight of fire. Weight of fire, if you're relying on the weight of fire to make them worth it, weight of fire will steal your thunder, will disappoint you. No, you can't.
Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah, for a troop tax, you're going to pay two points less for the Stalker, and he fights on fours. At least what he does well. The crawlers don't do anything well.
I'll tell you what, though. I've had a lot of success with Stalker shooting.
Seven plus.
I don't know why. You know what it is? I guess with the mobility and you get full model, and if you can get him a level above with the three extra dice, sevens ain't too bad. You know, you throw a few A trains in there; it's not too bad. There was one battle report. I was going against Andrew, and my Stalker was, you know, it was like the last guy to go. So he gets on the second level, he gets behind his Teraton, and he shoots down. I use, I think, two extra dice, and I hit like 6 8s, and I keep going, and obviously I kill the Teraton. So you know, as we're filming, we do the dice roll, and we move the camera around, and we do a lot of stop action because to keep it flowing for the video. So I roll and I'm hysterical laughing and I stop the camera. And he's like, all right, can I concede now? You know, cause it was like the Stalker killed a Teraton on the objective. So, you know, that ain't supposed to happen. And this goes back to the debate. And I think we're going over what we did last time. People were saying, I don't like the exploding eights in dead zone. If you don't like the exploding eights in dead zone, don't play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, I'm sorry, don't play the game. And if
that is the game,
I know this is a controversial, you know, this is very controversial, you know, but without exploding ace, man, dead zone is just, it ain't the same. Cause what's the point of like, you know what? In the back of your mind, you're like, all right, this Stalker is going to go against that Strider. You know what? I could throw some eights down. I'll be all right. In the back of your mind. I know that's the way Jack thinks too. You know, if I can get a few eights going, I'll be all right.
It's part of the holy trinity of dead zone, which is like the train crate battle zones, used to be battle zones, the three dimensions that it creates, the line of sight, and the exploding eights. Those three things make the game. You can't get away from it.
It is the game. It really is. There's nothing better. And you know, that's why when I do the battle reports, we focus on the dice so much because that is a change. You know, it's like a guy will roll seven successes and you only roll three dice and you end up winning that exchange.
You gotta see that, yeah.
Oh my God, it's just, another one. And then, you know, when you roll one at a time, like, an eight. Oh, let me go another eight. Oh, another eight. It's so good. So if you don't like that, go play Guild Ball.
Go play Infinity.
Yeah.
So the next thing we didn't take were night terrors, either the size or the spitters.
Jack, you notice he's sneaking back, that the Taskmaster's sneaking back.
Well, I want to get this over with.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, we did not take those, and I've been
hot or cold. Terrors, pretty expensive.
Yeah, I've been hot or cold on the spitter. I've gotten it didn't match my list either one of those two. I don't think they're that bad. Now, Coach One with the Nightmare with a pair of drills, that's classic. That's so traditional. That's like wearing a pilgrim's garb during Thanksgiving. Like that's how old school that is. The spitter, they're not bad. They're not bad.
I like to call it the Night Terror Rage, because they are bullet magnets, because nobody wants them across the table with the four fight with Frenzy One, and they're size three now, and they are tough. So they're going to be shot at. And the only way to kill them is to shoot them, really, when you think about it. The thing is, and also, you know, you get a wound on them so that if you fight them back, you're good. But when they die, it is really like a piece of your soul is torn. It really is. For whatever reason, you know, you can kill the brood mother, that hurts. You know, you can kill the nightmares. But when you kill a night terror for some reason, I don't take them because I don't want them to die. It's just this rage of horror, like, oh, my, oh, you, oh. You know, you never make it across the table. It just, and you know what? They are expensive, but they, when they get into combat, they do what they have to do, but it's like this, you know, I know I'm on the rules committee and I can't put my finger on it, but they're almost good. You know what I mean?
If you were to remove the Tunnel Runner from the equation.
Yes.
I think everyone here would have had one of those on there.
Maybe.
They would have been. They would have made it into the list somehow.
Well, I didn't take a Tunnel Runner.
Like I said, you got the Nightmare with the pair of drills. So, I think the Tunnel Runner is pretty splendid, and for me,
well, you know what it is for 4 points more, you get a Tunnel Runner.
Yeah. You're moving at four, and you're.
Yeah. Well, let's think about it. Right. All right. So the Tunnel Runner here, you're at 5-5-5, right? With a vehicle, but he's got armor one and he's size four, 30 points, but you're getting an AP2 weight of fire one. It does a lot more. Okay. The night terror spitter or sides are one trick ponies. You're either a combat guy or a shooty guy, because even when he gets into, the night terror with the spitter gets into combat, he does not have frenzy and he's at a five. So although he shoots on a five, the other guy doesn't have a shoot stat, for 4 points more. You know, for four points more, you take a Tunnel Runner for 30 points, and you're getting both, and you get, and it's damn good for, I mean, fives across the board is no joke. And he's, I'd say 99.9% of the time, he's going to be bigger than someone, unless you're going against your aberration or you're going against a Strider or an Iron Ancestor or something like that. Not too many things are size four.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, you know, that just, yeah, the Tunnel Runners are good. I just bought the pack with three of them, and I want to run that list. You know, I bought the Warpath thing, but you know, and it is, I did paint three for E-Rock, and it was awesome. I know Jack said those are one of the things that, you love to paint because it just paints itself. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that, you know, and just getting them on the table just because, you know, I'm going to go with the rule of Jack that, I just painted these, but that's why I put them in the list right now. I want to run them, you know.
It's a pleasant mix of mechanical and metals and stuff. And then you go in the inside, there's the control panels, there's a bunch of tubes and this stuff. And then you've got the organic, the Veerman himself, the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to paint. You can play with a lot of the different, I enjoy painting it.
Yeah. No, it's one of the coolest models, you know, in the Warpath universe, it's up there.
The next thing we didn't take was the Rumble weapon platform. It's the same reason we never took them the first time around.
Wiener cannon sucks.
Too short. Need line of sight. Hard to get line of sight with something that short.
We're working on it.
Yeah. There's got to be some solution to that guy.
I already have it. It's just we're working on it.
The cock and balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know what? It's sad because it's so cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It just, unfortunately, it just doesn't work.
Even
same with the certain other vehicles.
No, well, I'm just saying the other one too. I like the other one also. The chemical spitter one. It has the it almost has like the shield thing with the
yes
cone at front. Yeah,
I really, you know, I like the Wiener cannon first, but then I kind of got partial to that one. I guess I don't know. I like the way I painted it. I did it with the salt, you know, for the rusting effects and stuff. But yeah, it's a cool model. It really is. It's better in dead. It's better in Firefight.
That's good. At least it's useful somewhere.
Yes.
And more importantly, it's got a spotter with a little veerman with some goggles, and it's got these big binoculars that stick out. And he's kind of hunched over. It's really that's
awesome.
Cool. And the last thing we didn't take is the Tangle. Last time Jack liked it, but I think you've realized now, Jack, it's a little big, like model wise. It is a you want to see a bullet magnet. You can't hide this guy anywhere.
It's big. It's bigger than the square it's in. If you got some models and you're like, oh, okay, you know, he's kind of big, and you're always getting people are always hitting him from this angle, that angle, and you go like, how can that be? The Tangle's that times 1,000. Like you can't. those metal girders. Bent metal girders go into it's so the psychic stuff is a hit or miss. You know, it's a glamour model. If you bring it, it's because you want to show it off or you want to, you know, mix stuff up a bit. But everyone on the board's going to be able to shoot that thing, and you're not going to be able to get into a building like you would with a Chovar. You're not going to be able to get into, you're not going to be able to hide behind too much, and you're not going to be able to move through a properly dense board properly. It's just too big.
You'll be smashing all the buildings out of the way as you try to push it along. And
so understandably, it is a Warpath model.
It is really good in Warpath and Firefight. It's really good. Like you have to take you have to take two of them in Firefight because they're that good.
Yeah,
yeah.
But we love that everything gets ported into Dead Zone. So I'm not gonna poo-poo the fact that a model from designed for Warpath is in Dead Zone. But in Dead Zone, if you're really trying to make a competitive list, I don't know how you could take the legitimate model and expect to have it survive. Sure.
And this is a perfect example of the evolution of the award-winning team building exercise, because the first time we did these lists, Jack took the Tangle in the list, and he says, did you see that model? Did you see that model? I have to take this. I have to take this. And then he actually ran it, and he's like, yeah, I'm not taking it anymore. So,
and I took it to Adepticon 2 years ago. So when I was showing people how to play, and I was playing against other people, because it is one of those ones that goes, oh my God, Mantic makes fantastic models, which, you know, a few years ago there was questions. Oh, okay, you know, Mantic's models. Well, now this is the models that Mantic makes now.
Right.
Look at that question. Yeah. And also, you can teach line of sight, and people can, and it's a fun game piece, and it's a fun to show people how to play, but as a competitive list, you're asking for trouble. It
does do, you know, invigorate, stun, and suppression, you know, range 4 and range 5, which is really not too bad. Also, you do not need line of sight, which is another thing. You can shoot through 4 walls and still get there. That in and of itself is not bad. It's only 25 points though, but you know, it's got a lot of positives to it, but the negative is the size of the model.
Yeah,
I've yet to get it out of deployment zone.
Also, Jack, I'm sorry, it's a 1/1. That's why you can't get out of it. You know, it's like I move up. Oh well, I gotta put a I have to put a move dice on it, or I have to surge it. You know what I mean? To get it, it's got to move 2 or 3 just to get the hell out of where I need to get it. You know, unfortunately, if you win a recon, you could scout him up or something like that. But yeah, he is definitely a bullet magnet. And think about it, it's a 5 save, armor 1, size 4. All right, you got 5 wounds on it. 5 save is not bad. Armor 1 is not not too bad, but it is an easy 3 victory points for your opponent.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's about it. Is there anything else we need to touch on? I think that pretty much covers the new Veerman. It's the Veerman beta made official finally, which is nice.
And the only two new things we didn't take was stun grenades and toxic grenades, which only the Veerman have access to.
And but, you took the toxic grenade launcher.
So launcher, but I'm saying we have stun and toxic grenades also, which no one.
Yeah, stun grenades are fun. I remember playing a game with you where the stun grenade really changed the game.
I did my Hardaway fadeaway over the wall to get it to you, and it worked out pretty good.
Yep. So that's about it. Veerman done. Yes. Finally in the bag. People heard our Veerman show. It's a miracle.
Maybe.
My list is called TBE September, and it is now mid-October. So
mine is that's DZ Outbreak ATBE smoke on the dead zone.
Veerman. So, better late than never.
Yes.
My list is called Da Bomb, thanks to Tyler. Tyler's suggestion, call it the Da Bomb. So next week or next month, I should say.
Yes. It's my turn.
Yep. It's your turn. Are you going to pick the same one you picked last time?
Well, you know, I'm a big Forge Father fan. You know that, right? We all know that. And, I just love those damn models, and it'd be remiss for me not to pick the Forge Fathers because I love them so much. So without further ado, next month we're going to do the Plague.
Yeah, Plague.
And I'll tell you why. Going back, you know what, Jack? It's very influential in my life here. I've increased your vocabulary, and you've helped me see what you're talking about. I painted the four bursters. Those models actually painted themselves.
Save it for next show.
No, I'm just saying that's why I picked it, because I painted those bursters, and you know, I really do love those models. And so
they're gorgeous models.
Yeah.
If you haven't painted them up, you get alternate legs, alternate arms, alternate heads.
Do you want me to stop this broadcast?
Oh,
I'll stop this broadcast right now.
Fanboying over the
save it for next week.
So last episode, the lost episode, as Georgie and Boomer were leaving, they both tripped over the garbage can. They went ass over tea kettle. Then they get up and they look back at me with this look on their face. I can't stop laughing. So that's why Georgie had to move the garbage can out of the way for Boomer. Yeah, they don't really get along, but they did it this time.
And we laughed and laughed and laughed.
Like, I'm still laughing. End the show.
Do go to Family Gamer 777 for all the coaches going through all the Outbreak book, all the factions. And you're up to, what was the last one you just did?
I did the Forge Father Elite List, and then I just this week did the GCPS Elite List.
Nice. So I'm
going in
near the end.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's going to be bad. So Marauders, Nameless, Plague, Rebs, Veerman List. Those are the last few. You know,
there's quite a few,
but you know, I split them up. I'm doing them quick shot. Boom, 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 boom. You know, just you can watch like a 5-6 minute video for this. The last one was about 3 minutes because there really wasn't much to it. You know, just a little shot. And then if you ever want to run the list, my thing is you can just check out the video. Maybe I can give you a little insight before you, decide to make the list. That's why I did them this way. Instead of making a long, faction breakdown, just a little quick shot.
Yeah. They're really good. Good resource. And, Dead's on the podcast. It's mostly about other people's stuff, which is our forte.
Yes. And we on the, our stuff. And the shout outs and the and because there wasn't that much news, but then
the Dead Zone campaign just ended, which is good, so we cover that.
Yeah. Now am I allowing you to do other people's stuff? Because I heard the last episode that it was my fault that you don't do other people's stuff. And shout outs. You can't even say
for real. So we're going to stop this train wreck. At least it's down on vinyl somewhere. And we'll be back next time with the Outbreak Plague. And we'll see what happens there. We'll see what new and exciting things come from the plague. I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And I'm Coach from the Third Sphere.
Oh, yeah, you've got another podcast, too. You never do that podcast.
We do once a month. What are you talking about? 3.5 hours. What are you talking about?
I'm joking. Yep, good stuff. And, yeah, plague. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's another show down the drain. Why do you people listen to this garbage? I guess if you want the list that these people made, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com and you can see a YouTube version of the show on the Family Gamer 777 channel. Yeah, I wouldn't do either, but then again, what do I know?